just a mystery. Lighten up. It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way. Lighten up.
Welcome to Lighten Up with Bonnie Wirth on Empower Radio, an inspirational hour of conversation and interviews to help you shift perspective and create balance between being spiritual and human. Now here's your host, Bonnie Wirth, on Empower Radio.
Hello, happy day. How are you all doing? Oh my gosh, super moon. It is super for a reason. Are you feeling the energy? You know, truly, it has a great effect on our emotional, physical, mental well-being, as well as in terms of really moving us into and in tune with our innate gifts and abilities. So there's been a lot shaken up over the last few days, and I thought it was really interesting in terms of how, you know, it's affecting people in all different ways. Really interesting in the experiences. And we can really look at this as almost being the final release of 2016. So I've talked about it all year. I've talked about this being, you know, the roller coaster year, ups and downs. It's a year of completion. All of the things that no longer fit or were working in our lives really got pulled. You know, it's like the rug got pulled from underneath us, unless we've been doing our work and staying in flow with things. And, you know, then maybe it's been a little bit easier for some as opposed to others. So we're into this super moon energy right now, and everything has greatly intensified. And you can be on either side of the scale with this. You can either be going through really extreme highs and enjoying the buzz of energy and possibilities and, you know, the guidance, the direction, and you might be in super get it done mode. I know I certainly am. But on the other side of the scale, you know, really becomes this heaviness, the weight of the world on our shoulders, this overwhelming sense of, you know, perhaps emotionally drowning, where you're just feeling like everything around you is falling apart. And that truly is, that's also, you know, a part of what is playing out for so many people around the globe. And I want to just say that, you know, we put this super moon energy on top of us. We're dealing with enough stuff already this year. And then we intensify it by adding in, you know, the holiday season. You know, don't think for a moment that somebody out there, you know, out in the universe, maybe, you know, knows what they're doing. It doesn't feel like it, though, some days. That's for sure, you know, and it really can be this time of the holidays when we're in emotional, you know, going through all these emotions anyway. We're in emotional chaos in our lives and in terms of what we've been dealing with, this huge let go, this huge release. And now we move into this other disappointing truth, really this holiday cheer, because holiday cheer can be really difficult to come by when you're facing emotional pain, when you're facing emotional pain due to a loss of a loved one. You know, it takes a lot to be able to muster up our inner strength, you know, to really find a little bit of joy in the season when we can be so compounded, you know, and amid all of the grief. So this is a year of transition. This is a year of shifting. And, you know, holidays right now not only are stressful, but they can also create a little bit of an emotional burden. And it's because it's difficult. It's difficult in facing newness in life when we have loved ones that maybe are no longer with us. Those people that we have shared so many holidays with, so many traditions with, so many times and memories that are cherished. And suddenly we can find ourselves between here and there and really not sure how to face the season. And so that really is our topic of conversation today. This is about really helping you to find some ease, helping you to maybe navigate some of the, you know, this emotional chaos that's playing up for you, and maybe bring you a little bit of peace of mind too. That's, you know, ultimately what my intention is. So anyway, my friends, I will be opening up the phone lines after the commercial break. Like always, the number to call is 248-809-3475. So if you want to share a little bit about what you're going through, maybe get some insight or guidance to help ease this up, by all means, please give me a shout. All right, so, you know, we can look at, you know, all of the different emotions that we can experience, you know, and the one thing about sadness really is one of those emotions that needs to be felt. It needs to be expressed. And, you know, like all emotions, it's a reliable indicator of what's really going on inside of us. And so we can sometimes, and I say we because I include myself in this so immensely, begin to kind of push away how we actually feel. We can begin to, you know, deny ourselves the truth of the emotion. And so, you know, in that state, we begin to go into maybe some compulsive behaviors. We begin thinking, speaking irrationally. We might be looking at ways to ignore, put aside, and, you know, pretend things aren't happening. And I think for the most part, you know, when we go into the loss of losing someone, whether you've lost someone this year or whether you've lost one, a loved one 25 or 30 years ago, I want you to know that the pain is real. The pain of that loss, you know, is, it never goes away. It's this valid thing that exists and it sits there. And I know even for my own self with loved ones who have crossed during the holiday season, I really take to heart in the memory of them, the mourning, the grieving, the loss, feeling the happiness and the wishing that they could still be here. So, you know, grief and mourning, it's very confusing. And it also is what makes us so poignantly human. And so grief intensifies during this time of year, in all the time where we should be cheery and bright and celebrating. And, you know, it can be really difficult. It can be really hard, especially after a recent death, because what happens is the holidays seem to highlight the absence. You know, this whole idea that grieving people, you know, it's funny how grieving people should move on, you know, we should move on and keep moving forward. But when we're mourning, it can be really confusing because we can battle between knowing that we should move on, even if the loss is 25 or 30 years ago. And we battle with this internal influx of emotion, this grief that seems to intensify. And I mean, grief can show itself not only in sadness, but it can show up in anger, resentments, and we can even feel guilty. We can have, you know, yes, joy and sweetness and find gratitude for the person that's been in our life, but there's all this influx of other emotions that show up. And again, as I said, it really intensifies as we go forward into the holiday season. So it doesn't matter how many years have gone by, I think is my point. The loss maybe become less painful, but the memories are always there. And in some way, they might bring humor. There might be nostalgia there, but the chairs are empty. The people are missing. The food, you know, and I think of my mother-in-law, the food that was prepared no longer tastes the same. There's just this change and shift. And so it can be a very complicated time. We bounce between joy and happiness to grief and despair. And it's not easy just to move on. And it really isn't. So I'm feeling, I just want all of you, and I know that there's so many people that have been messaging me and thanking me about today's topic, dealing with, you know, things in their life, trying ways to cope and to rise above, feeling emotionally overwhelmed, and not certain as to how they are to continue. And so it is my hope that in this show, not only do I give you a little bit of a peace of mind in making that happen, but to really give you some perspective, some insight, and some tools to help you to work through what you're feeling, this emotional mess of things that you can be feeling. I think first and foremost, and what I'm being shown here is, you know what, if you are going through this, if you have experienced a loss in this last year, if you've experienced a loss 25, 30 years ago, I want you just to take a moment and take a really deep breath and just imagine that person with you. Just imagine that person being with you, seeing their face, and just allow a presence of a memory to come forward. Whatever emotion is coming up, I just want you to just to honor that. You might have a tear. A smile might come on your face. It's so important that we just take a moment to recognize and honor how we feel, what it is, you know, what it is that's going on inside of us. Because the emotions, they're powerful. And we can, of course, by honoring anything in our life, really help us to release, to let go, but helping us to honor is the greatest gift we can give ourselves. I know for my own self, you know, I emotionally can shut down. It's easy for me to emotionally shut down or to emotionally detach. I shouldn't say that anymore. it was easy for me to do that. I was really talented at being able to pretend myself out of anything, where I could just shift out of a mindset, pretend it didn't happen, detaching myself emotionally because it was so intense that I wasn't able to truly deal with something. It's not a healthy behavior. And it actually can create even more difficult situations in our own life. You know, detaching, we get into denying our humanity, denying our emotions. And as I said, for everything, we must take care of ourselves. We must accept responsibility for our emotions. We must honor what comes up. And taking care of ourselves is one of the ways that we can love ourselves. It's one of the ways that, you know, we can really let ourselves be human. Because as humans, we experience a wide range of emotions. And all emotions, that, you know, are good for us. They're not good, they're not bad. They just are, really. So when we face the holidays, when we have this time now in the absence of those people that we hold dear, we may be in a place where we've given up our ability to care. We've given up our ability to care about tradition. We've given up the ability to care about buying presents or getting together with other people, you know, social gatherings. We give up caring. And it's okay to give up caring of all those things. It's okay to let go and not put the expectations on ourselves that maybe we normally have other years. It's okay. But it's not okay, my friends, to stop caring about yourself, to not nurture and give yourself time and to be present with how you feel. So, you know, I have so much coming in, you know, truly I do. When I look at, you know, we can take from another look. We've been looking at this aspect of human. We've been playing with this fact of our emotions and that it's difficult this time of year and that we're sad and we're feeling despair and we're stressed out and maybe maxed out and trying to find joy in the midst of all of the emotions. But the reality is, you know, we can look at the other side of things. If we can look at the other side in terms of the loss, that death in some way is a transition, a change of form, that all of life is eternal, the spirit survives, and that our loved ones, even in the midst of all of this emotional upheaval that we feel in the midst of all of the ways that we wish that they could still be with us, that they are. And so to know that, to someone, you know, who has crossed, someone who has died or transitioned, whatever word you want to put on it, that they are indeed with us. In fact, it is our love that keeps us connected. And so the relationship changes. And as someone who's lost people that I love, I can acknowledge that there's a dramatic change in death. It's dramatic. And even though this aspect of their spirit continues on, it's never the same. It is never the same. Life is never the same. We are never the same. So in the death of someone, there's almost like a rebirth that happens within us. And so one of the things to take a look at is the amount of pain, the amount of sadness that we feel is a direct indication of how much we have loved. It's an indication of how deep the relationship went. And just as each one of us is different and unique in our own self, so are those relationships. And when the presence, when the physical presence of someone is gone, it, you know, that knowing we can't get it back is really tough. And so there are ways in which we can, you know, sense their presence, their touch. We can feel them in the room. Those are all beautiful ways that we can allow ourselves to be present with them in new form. So, you know, thinking about our loved ones is probably the easiest way to keep them close. How many times when you think that, you know, someone has died, a friend, a colleague, you know, perhaps a father, a mother. It's very often we as humans, we avoid talking about that person. We avoid bringing up their name because we don't want to hurt someone. And yet, when someone is grieving, they want to talk about their loved one. They want that person to be acknowledged and recognized for the fact that they did have presence here in this life. That even though they're no longer present, that they, you know, who they were was important. And so whatever you can do and wherever you are, even if it's your own self, never stop talking about them. Bring them up in every conversation. Engage them in this way. When we talk about our loved ones, when we think about our loved ones, when we remember our loved ones, it keeps their energy close to us. And over time, we can begin to sense and feel and to know and experience their presence in this new form. But we can't not talk. We can't not feel our sadness. We can't not acknowledge that we're in pain. So, you know, I know this is a deep conversation. You know, this is supposed to be lighten up, and here I'm like garbing on you all this heavy stuff. But I want to really express the fact that I know you. I know where you are. I know how tough this can be. And that in the midst of everything, it can, this whole idea of happy holidays can be really tough. Where do you pull happiness from? How do you pull happiness? What you experience is real. Truly it is. And the love that you shared with your with the person that has crossed was very real. And it still is. And it's ridiculous to pretend like they never existed. And not only do we want to talk about them, our loved ones want us to talk about them. They want us to retell their funny stories. They want us to remember. So we have so many memories. You know, we shared this life, this experiences, happy experiences, awful experiences, you know, and some that were terrible that they're so funny. And so our loved ones really ask us to talk about them, to keep them close, to acknowledge that they were here, but it also helps in keeping them close, their energy close. So again, I want to invite you into this whole frame of mind again. Think of someone special to you, someone who's crossed, someone you love and miss more than anything in the world. And just ask this person to be with you. Just ask them to be with you on the holiday. Thank them for being in your life. Thank you. Thank them for sharing in your life. Imagine them, feel them, sense them, know them. It's that easy to have them close, even if you can't feel them, even if you don't really know they're there, and even if you don't really believe it's working, it is. There's so many ways to be able to connect with them. There's so many ways to be able to still feel their presence. There's so many ways in which to move through the difficulty of grief. The first thing, you know, it's almost like a myth. We need to get rid of this whole idea that the fact that we need to be happy all the time, because it truly is an unrealistic expectation of life. Because as humans, our life is a little bit more complex than that. We have a full range of emotional experiences, and those emotions that take us from misery and the unhappiness, the grief, are the experiences of what it means to be a normal human being. That sadness, this emotion, is just love. And love should be received. And if we allow ourselves to have the emotion, that's when it's going to pass. That's when we're going to be able to move through it. That's when we're going to be able to have less of a feeling of separation at the holidays. We get to be in the experience of our sadness. And being in the experience of our sadness, in all truth, actually allows our loved ones to be even closer to us. So we need to face our sadness. We need to let ourselves cry. Let ourselves talk. You know, it really is important. So sometimes we might need to call a friend for a coffee, or we might need to just snuggle up with a blanket on the couch. Suppressing emotions, as I am telling you, I am the girl of, as I said earlier, detaching, suppressing emotions, pretending that they didn't happen and I wasn't feeling what I was feeling. You know, the truth is, it's the most unhealthy thing you can ever do. You see, I always believed that if I pretended it didn't happen, that I could somehow dismiss the pain. And when we have an experience that we can find painful or difficult, when we're unable to cope with it, it's natural for us to suppress it, to bury our emotions. And very honestly, and you might be feeling this, the super moon is pulling that out in all of us. You know, those feelings stay in our muscles, they stay in our stomach, they stay in our auras. And so when we're going through an intense moon and the energies of healing and releasing and like this final big hoo-ah of 2016 here, it can sometimes, you know, be normal to also feel as if we become physically ill. Ignoring and suppressing our feelings, you know, denies us the ability to heal. You see, because I used to believe, as I said, if we pushed it away, it didn't happen. I could deal with it. I'd get over it. But the truth of it is that all came up later. You know, mild emotions to others that were intense, anger, sadness, frustration, depression. Because the truth of it is we cannot change or control our emotions. We can't. And it really becomes this loss, becomes this vicious circle. We can never get over our loss. Because it's this vicious circle of repeating and repeating and repeating. Suppress, it shows up. We suppress it again, it shows up. We suppress it again, it shows up. And yet the truth of it is if we could just allow ourselves to feel our sadness, to cry our tears, to indulge ourselves and fall forward into the grief, into the unhappiness, into the less than pleasant feelings, that actually allows us to heal. It actually allows us to rise above. So our emotions, you know, suppressed, repressed emotions cause fatigue, as I said, depression. We're taught to rarely talk about our feelings, especially our men in the world. This whole feeling thing is really, you know, difficult. We can become lethargic. our relationships can begin to, you know, be a little uneasy. We might have anxiety, you know, the feeling of walking around with a knot in our stomach, tightness in our throat. Pretending it didn't happen, pretending we're not feeling how we're feeling is so detrimental. I'll talk more about this after the commercial break.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. That's 2min2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
What's your favorite color? Tell us, please.
Kids will spend 20 minutes listening to songs like this.
What's your favorite color? What's your...
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Don't take it so seriously.
Lighten up.
Trust the mystery.
Lighten up.
It doesn't matter anyway. Just enjoy your life. Get out of your way.
Lighten up.
Now back to Lighten Up with Bonnie Work on Empower Radio.
All right, we are talking about grief and the holidays. And holidays are the time that we spend with our loved ones. There is an imprint on our psyche that happens at a very young age, that holidays are about family, about togetherness. And it can be really difficult when someone we've loved has been lost. You know, how on earth can we be expected to cope sometimes after someone has died? How do we celebrate togetherness when we're not together? Really tough, really, really tough. and pretending we don't hurt, or that it's not as, you know, that it's not hard, is just not truth. We can get through the holidays, though, you know, rather than avoiding our feelings of grief, as I said earlier, you know, lean into them, fall into it. It's not the grief that we want to avoid. It's the pain of the pain of the grief. The truth, though, is that grief is the way out of the pain. And when we can fall forward into it and we'll give ourselves the ability to really just cry about our experience, to call upon, you know, friends and family to support us, to pray, to meditate, to call upon our angels, our guides, our loved ones in spirit, we can find almost an inner strength. So the holidays are without a doubt the biggest and most challenging time after a loss. And rather than avoiding our feelings of grief, as I said, we can lean into them. And so giving some space and time to acknowledge how we feel, and also giving some space and time to externalize our loss. And so what I mean by externalizing our loss is, as I said, a prayer, meditation. We can also, at our gatherings, our holiday time, you know, say a prayer about our loved one. Say a prayer about our loved one. Light a candle for them. Share our favorite stories. Chat about them, talk about them. There are definitely ways to navigate and to cope. So I do want to welcome Melissa to the show. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good, girl. How are you doing? You sound like you're traveling.
I am. I'm off to an eye appointment.
What can I do for you today, hon?
Well, I guess mostly I was just wondering what guidance you have for me, because as you know, my mom passed away, and I just find that I'm so crazy busy with work and everything else going on that I don't think I'm dealing with my own emotions myself, because I'm too busy doing everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you bring up a really good point, Melissa, for so many people, is the fact that we don't take the time or don't have the time, and it can be really difficult to really find where we fit in all of that, to truly acknowledge our pain, to truly give ourselves the opportunity to cry. And so I think it becomes really important, love, is, you know, really talking about your mom is important. The more that you can talk about her, even to colleagues, to coworkers, is going to be really helpful to you in being able to feel and deal with some of the emotions coming up. And it's okay for you to get teary-eyed. That's actually okay. I think the number one thing in our society is when we see someone grieving, we get uncomfortable when we see them cry. And yet we need, you know, that expression of love, that expression of feeling. And I'm really seeing for you that it's important for you to talk about it. One of the things to recognize, it looks like you do try to avoid bringing up conversations about her. Out of fear over how you're going to respond to the conversation. And so it's very important. Your angels are showing it's important for you to be able to put into words your loss, put into conversation, bring her name up in conversation, start sharing memories. Don't worry, they say, if other people get tired of hearing the same stories over and over. It's not about them. This is about you being able to find some ease, because it is, you're feeling very overwhelmed. I'm seeing that for you. You haven't had much time to really indulge in your grief. If you could take an opportunity as well, Melissa, to run yourself a hot bath and get into, you know, in their essential oils. You can put some crystals in there if you do that, and really give yourself a nurturing, soothing, sacred space to be able to just have a good cry. The water is going to help to really flush out not only the toxins within your body from the suppression of emotions that you're feeling, but also giving you a lot of emotional release where there's actually so many tears that have yet to be expressed for you. So if you were to do that, you know, yes, work is busy and everything, and I know it's in and out, quick, have a shower and go, but your team is really saying taking time, even if it's twice a week, to give yourself that space to really get into your grief and get into the pain of it, you're going to find that it'll be so much easier for you to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There's a lot of stress that you're holding here as well. They show me this, of course, you know, even with your daughter, this ability to save face or to be happy for her so that she's not, you know, witnessing your pain. It's also important for you, they say, to share in the loss with your daughter, to let her know and to keep those conversations of your mom happening, and to let your daughter know that, you know, it's okay to cry and that you are hurting and that this is not easy for you. This is an opportunity very often as mothers, we go into this caretaking mode for our children. And what the angels are showing is that this is an opportunity for your daughter to nurture and care for you a little bit. And it's okay, even though she's young, allow her to be there for you. Your strength is admirable, you know, it truly is, but they're just showing that it's so necessary for you to just be real with where you are and to be real with her. Just let her in a little bit, they say.
Yeah. You would find it probably helpful as well to write a love letter
to your mom and let her know how much you miss her and how much you wish she was still here and how difficult that this is, and end it in gratitude, thanking her for being the mom that she was to you in the world, thanking for all of the lessons and all of the learning, and most importantly, thank her for still being by your side, because she truly is. She is a part of your everyday life, and so it's just been your grief that has maybe numbed out your ability to be able to receive her right now. So I hope that helps, Melissa. Unfortunately, Melissa, we had to, the line was, I know I lost you there, but I know that you're listening, girl, and I'm sending a big, big hug. Thank you so much for calling in. So yeah, this brings up a really great point. You know, we can look at ways of, you know, I talked about prayer, I talked about saying a prayer, sharing great stories, you know, around the holiday table, but writing a love letter to someone who we've lost, sitting down and just allowing pen to paper. I don't believe that there's any greater therapy than our ability to be able to express through writing. So whether you sit at the computer and just type away, or whether you actually get, you know, that little writing utensil, we don't use pen and paper very often anymore, but to get a journal and to just sit down and just write a letter as a way to honor your loved one, the one who, you know, this hole that you're feeling, allow this to be one of the ways that you can do that, where you can tell them about how important that they were to you. It helps us to release, you know, our feelings are so bottled up. And so, you know, when we don't allow time for our feelings, we maybe only allow ourselves, for instance, here's an analogy, we might have 500 tears to cry, but we've only allowed ourselves 250, you know, we've suppressed the rest. So grief is, you know, is a funny thing, and sometimes we just need some help with it. We just need to allow ourselves to be in it, but it's also important for us to be gentle as well. One of the biggest things, again, the expectations. We put a lot of expectations on ourselves. We put a lot of, and I've seen it happen, a lot of expectations on the person who's grieving. And I truly believe that when someone has had a loss, that they get a permission card, they get a free, free from any expectations from other people for, you know, a year, 2 years. The expectations we put on ourselves, we're hard on ourselves when we're in a healthier place or state of mind emotionally. You know, we have a high measurement and a standard that we like to adhere to. And we put a lot of shoulds on us, a lot of expectations. But the number one thing I see is, and have experienced and recognized in other relationships, is the expectations we put on someone who is grieving. Whether from what they say, what they don't do, what they should do, what they need to do. And so if you can do anything, you know, if you're the one who's grieving this year or at this time, you know, let go of the expectations you're putting on yourself. Just cut yourself some slack. And if someone you know is grieving, someone that is close to you, a relative, a friend, cut them some slack too. Get rid of their expectations. You know, we get into being sometimes so defensive and wounded because they don't respond in a certain way that we expect them to. They don't show up as we've known them to. As I said earlier, death changes us. To say to someone, you're not the same person anymore that you used to be, you couldn't be more right. They're not. We're not. We are never the same after we lose someone. So we must get rid of the expectations of that old self that we have of ourselves and the expectation of the old self of others that we're used to seeing. And be in presence for what is. Nurturing. Compassion. You know, compassion is probably the biggest of the choices that we can ever make when someone is grieving. So I think it's important, you know, holidays, as I said, can sometimes be the roughest terrain for us to navigate after a loss. And how we handle them can be as individual as we are. More important, it is that we stay present for the loss in whatever form the holidays are for us. Death, grief, it's a journey and it must be felt fully. We can catch ourselves being okay, you know, doing okay, smiling. We might have moments of laughter. And then sometimes we can feel very sad. I think it becomes really important to remember, not only are we alone on this journey, but to remember that we're loved. And that, like all love, it must be honored. And that sadness is allowed. Because, you know, the old adage, you know, death doesn't take a holiday. You know, our friends, our family, our relatives often think that they know how our holidays should look, what we should, as I said, what we should do, those expectations. And now more than ever, my friends, it's important to be gentle with yourself. To really do more of what you want to do. And anything that does not serve your soul, anything that does not serve your loss, to say no to. We get to say no. You have an invitation for a social gathering. Guess what? You don't have to go out of obligation. You can graciously say no, thank you. You know, traditions are one of those things, you know, we can sometimes hold out or try to hold up traditions. But after a loss, those traditions can be painful, especially if, you know, dad always carved the turkey and suddenly dad is no longer with us. A new tradition can be born. And it can be anything from somebody else carving the turkey to you having Chinese food instead. It's really important, and I know I'm using that word over, pausing for another word. I'm asking the angels, what other word? And they just keep giving me the importance of it, the importance of it. The importance to know that you can always have a plan B. You know, the whole idea of the holidays, really taking care and honoring what feels right to you. You can cancel the holiday. Just as you decided to not go to the party, you can cancel the holiday too. Yes, you can. You can take a year off. The holiday routine, you know, it can be really difficult when times are tough, when we're dealing with our emotions. We can take it off. We can cancel it. We can say, try again next year. You know, grief has a unique way of giving us permission to really evaluate what parts of the holiday we enjoy and what parts that we don't. And so this gives us an opportunity to take a look at some of the things that we want our holidays to represent instead. What do we want to do for the holidays? What do we want them to mean? And after a death or a loss, I'll tell you, holidays mean, you know, even more. That time together means even more. But just to know that, you know, there are some other choices that we can make. But really giving ourselves permission to feel how we feel, to do what we need to do, to go, to stay, or do something completely different. You know, as I said earlier in the show, our loved ones really are with us, and they know how much we love and we miss them. And so, you know, I talked about earlier about the importance of keeping them in the midst of our conversations. You know, something that you might want to try is to do something that they love to do. So if you had a loved one who enjoyed skiing and you've never been skiing, you might want to learn to ski. You might want to go and take a lesson and get out on the mountain. If there was a special food that they liked or a drink that they loved to have, you know, by just to participate in something that they love to do is a great way to feel connected to them. Everything, as I said, can be a new choice, a new tradition. One of the things I know I've felt really helpful in doing in my own life is to make an altar. And this can be anything, really, objects that represent your loved one. It might be a picture, a necklace that they wore, a special token. It might be a candle, some crystals. It doesn't really matter what you use, but being able to create a space where you can go to just be present with them in this way. Find something like this, something tangible that you can have and hold on to and use to remember them. And just, it helps in remembering specific people. It helps in remembering specific aspects and attributes of them. And when I talk about remembering, all of the energy and of their possessions, all of the energy and purpose and intention behind this altar, actually, the remembering is experiencing them in a new form, in a different way. But they are with you. and they want to be connected to you. You know, spirit is with us all the time. They see everything. As I, you know, say very often, when our loved ones die, they're, you know, we look at them as being a part of our past. And the truth is, they go on before us. And so because of that, they hold space for our future. And they want nothing more than for us to be happy, to thrive, to feel good. And so their presence with us is a way that they can support, help, and love us through every aspect of life. So even when you imagine your loved one smiling at you, they are. And when you think of them in the midst of a holiday as a part of a tradition that was shared, they're with you. And as you think about them and remember a funny time that makes you laugh, they're laughing with you. When you lean back in your chair or snuggle in your bed and wish that they were there holding you, cuddling, they are. The energy of our grief creates the veil. The energy of our beliefs creates the veil. The truth is, there is no veil. Our loved ones are ever steady and available, connected and with us. It's just the unserving energy that disrupts our ability to maybe receive them fully. And as we fall forward into grief, as we acknowledge our sadness, as we find ways to navigate, to lift ourselves up, to find our way through the holidays and every day in between, it becomes easier and easier for our loved ones to be with us. So, my friends, if you have been denying your grief, if you have been avoiding it, if you've been putting off and ignoring how you feel, I really do want to invite you to take some time to lean into it, to be in the pain of it, to cry the tears you need to cry, to say the words you need to say, the frustration, the anger, because it's there. You see, the thing is, our loved ones, we're not hurting them when we say, "I'm so angry that you left." They know, and they love us anyway. But those emotions, those truths about how we feel need to be articulated. Get mad about it. Get sad about it. Don't censor anything. Go into an empty room, go into a closet, go into the middle of a field and scream. Being able to just express a sound can make all the difference. And we can release our emotions when we're angry and hurt, without hurting anyone else around us too. You know, so just scream the words, "I hate it." Scream it, cry it, express it. And even if you can't scream out loud, imagine that you're screaming. See it, hear it, feel it. Do it as deeply as you can. If you're more of a physical person, you might want to take a pillow and you might want to just hit the bed with the pillow. I hate this. I'm frustrated. I'm sad. And of course, you can write about it. As I said, most importantly, releasing our emotions is about speaking our truth. We need to tell someone, even spirit, what we feel that's been, you know, what we've got buried deep inside of us. It doesn't make us bad. It doesn't push away our loved ones. We haven't offended them, and they haven't given up on us. But it is a way that we can healthfully navigate and healthfully love ourselves through the holidays.